Blog Talk Radio. People, let me tell you, I work hard every day.
Again, big story is temperature. We have a high today of 75. It is currently 46 down in the
Every day, I get up out of bed. I pull my clothes, cause I've got bills to pay. Now it ain't easy, but I don't need no help. I've got a strong will to survive. I've got a deep.
Good evening and welcome to In the Know with Mo. This is your host, Maureen Forte. We started off with a little technical problem due to the weather here in Chicago, but we're back on target and we're back online, and I want to thank you for your patience and understanding. Tonight we're talking about women in politics, and tonight my guest, my live line guest, is Wendy Casey, and let's see if Wendy Casey is online. Wendy Casey, you are live online on In the Know with Mo. Welcome. We're talking about women in politics. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm doing fine, and thank you for having me and inviting me tonight.
Very good. You are, for those that you are, Wendy Casey is what I would call a social activist. I'm not going to call her a community activist, because when you speak of community, that means a person in just one central location. A social activist is a person that hits the media, the community, and various communities, and this is what Wendy Casey is. She's a social activist, and she's out here educating and elevating the minds of all of our people, teenagers, young people, and active senior citizens. Would you tell the people, the listening audience, a little something about yourself?
Yes, I am 45 years old. I'm a mother of two, 27 and 16, and I am a long-time resident of Dixmoor, 45 years, and I have had the opportunity to be raised by two parents that fostered 35 children, and I'm sorry, 35 children, and they were only able to adopt four. And my mom and dad was very active in the community as Cub Scout, Boy Scout leaders, Girl Scout leaders. My mom's out volunteer with the Red Cross. So I think I got a piece of her still in me.
Yes, and I know, and we talked about Dixmoor, we're talking about Dixmoor, Illinois. Where is Dixmoor, Illinois located?
We are located in the south suburbs. We're in between Blue Island and Harvey, and right next to Polson. So we're only 1.2 square miles.
How many residents do you have in Dixmoor?
Currently, we have a little over 3,100.
Wow.
Within the last 10 years ago, we were close to 4,500, and within 10 years, we've dropped to almost nearly 2,000.
Okay. So that's quite a big drop. What do you think that's due to the decline?
I'm assuming, one, the school, the community, the leadership. Two, Dixmoor has no tax base, so it really hurts the school district. And District 147 is, you know, we're still under AYP, so the system is really not adequately having our children at its benchmark. So a lot of parents, you know, there are parents here, and they just bus their children to private schooling or charter schools.
Okay. And I wish they, as an educator myself, I really wish that they would get that school system running improperly, because when I hear you say private schools or charter schools, you know, charter schools, in my opinion, is just not the answer. Just not the answer, because with the public education system, you know that you have state-certified teachers, whereas the charter schools, those teachers are not certified. They really, in my opinion, are coming from every walk of life back into a school system from corporate America. Now they think they want to throw their hands in teaching. And speaking to you, I know you are an expert on the school system because you're constantly in the schools, you're working with the schools and the teachers and the parents and the community. But a bigger thing is that you're about to run for an office. Am I correct?
Yes. I have been an advocate with the PTA for a little over close to 10 years now. I'm current vice president of the Lincoln School PTA, which is located in Dixmoor. And I was the assistant to the district PTA, where I work closely with our politicians on the state level. And so within that time, I have learned and I educated myself regarding the No Child Left Behind Act. And me personally, I believe that the verdict is still not in as far as the charter schools. And yes, I do agree with you that some parents do not realize nor understand that when it comes to private schooling and charter schools, those teachers do not have to be board certified.
Right.
And with the charter schools, it's basically they're taking money away from the public schools for the child. And so they're going to take the top of the crop, and they're not going to take the kids that are not making AYP and place them in charter schools.
And what happens to those children that don't make it in the charter school? You know,
basically, to me, that education bill that the former president passed, No Child Left Behind Act, actually what it has done, it has actually left our children behind, especially in the disadvantaged communities such as Dixmoor. And so that was, I did run for school board twice, and it was unsuccessful. But after the second time I ran, I began to realize and understand that in order for schools, our public schools, to have a solid foundation for our children's education, it has to be built on a solid foundation, which means our community at large has to be strong. You cannot expect to have a strong school but a weak community. It doesn't work. The community has to be strong and growing, and that's what makes public schools grow and be strong. Based upon public school funding is based upon the property tax.
Right.
And so when you have a small community, whether in, you know, and there's no tax base, it's hard to fund the public schools. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a bill such as No Child Left Behind Act, it is actually taking money out of the school instead of replacing it. So I never understood that bill. I never understand the law. And it just upset me more than anything that the leaders in the community that we voters vote for public school board, they did not advocate to me hard enough for the children that they represent on the school board.
And so basically,
if the parents don't understand, it's not involved in the school system, you cannot expect those parents to be involved in the community. It doesn't work. They have to be involved in the community, and then it will filter off into the school system.
And so when you talk about community leaders in the community dealing with the school system, are you speaking of the school board members who are elected by the people? This is just because it takes a village to raise a child. And for me, when you talk about children and that African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child, that village would consist of the local school board, your school board, your elected officials on the state level, which would be your state representative and your state senators and your congressmen, because all of them play a part in education. And also you get to your local level elected officials, which are your mayor and your trustees of the town in which you reside. That's what I would consider the elected officials. They all have a hand in it. So when things don't work, all of them have to be made accountable for it. Just like last night, we talked about on my show last night, we talked about Black history being taught in the schools. There is it's a law that was instituted by the late Senator Shaw, but it's not carried forth, you know. But so just like in Dixmoor, all of those parties play a part, from your state representative, your senator, your congressman who's missing, and your mayor. Your mayor and your trustee.
Exactly. And this is one of the reasons, just one of many reasons, why I believe that I will be the best person to lead this community, Dixmoor, for the simple fact, if there is no communication between the elected officials, the leaders in our community, and the residents, nothing gets done. And we as voters and residents, we have to hold our elected officials accountable. And so when you have 31 residents in Dixmoor, and only 50% of those residents do their census reports to turn them in, out of 3,100 residents, you can only get on the average 5 to 8 residents that attend regular meetings twice a month. If, you know, it is sad and it's very disturbing for the simple fact, if the residents are not coming out to the meetings asking questions, demanding answers, they're going to do what they want to do.
Right.
Because they're used to the 5 and 8. They basically ignore us. We're nothing to them.
And you know as a trustee in the village where I reside, we had the same problem. Well, probably not as severe as Dixmoor, but we have sometimes maybe 5 people that come to our meetings, to the council meetings, but yet still they have so much to complain about. And what they fail to realize, when you buy these homes in these communities, this is your investment.
And it's crazy because I am a renter. I am not a homeowner. But I let people understand that when I pay my rent every month, my landlord is using that rent money to pay her property tax, which means I am an investor. I contribute to the community. Whenever I pay a utility bill, I'm paying a tax that goes directly to my community. So I do have a voice. And renters have to understand you are an investor in your community where you live. And
you're having a little technical problem with your phone. We're not coming as clear as we need to come through on this line here. But if you can still hear me, there's a question from a young lady. She has a question. This question is for Ms. Casey. Ms. Casey, I understand that you are running for mayor of Dixmoor, and also your son. Why are you and your son running for mayor, and why not just one of you? Thank you, Charlene. This is from Ms. Charlene.
Okay. That is a problem in the household that needs to be addressed very quickly. I, for one, had this conversation with my son, and I'm, you know, he is his own person. He's his own man. And
he's
yes,
grown.
He does. Huh?
And he's grown.
And yes, he's grown, but there has to be an understanding between the two of us. Who is best fit to lead this community in the right direction? And
yeah.
I'm going to take the argument that I really believe that I am, for the simple fact that, no, I'm not an elected official, but yet, not only do I have a passion for the community, I have a passion for politics, but I understand the law of politics. And that's where a lot of politicians that get into office get into trouble, because they don't understand their position, the power that they have, and who elected them.
Mm-hmm.
This election is not about Wendy Casey. Me running for mayor is about this community, about my dad that's been here for 54 years. He do not need to be a prisoner of his own home.
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
about my daughter. This is about the other children in this community. This is what this is about. And I honestly believe that I have the best plan to do this.
Mm-hmm. Has there ever been any women mayors of Dixmoor?
We did have one, and she was appointed. And we did have two that ran unsuccessfully for mayor. And with the power and the will of God, if I'm elected, I will be the first elected African American and the first elected African American female to hold that seat. So we basically, this election is basically, we'll be making history for the village of Dixmoor.
I have another message here from a Mr. Kevin. Kevin wants to know when you are elected as the new mayor of Dixmoor, what are your plans to bring about jobs to our community? And now, Kevin, I want to tell you, I know you're listening, and I just want to say I love the way you use your language, because you said when you are elected. You didn't say if you are elected. So language is a big thing to me. So, again, Ms. Casey, Kevin wants to know, when you are elected, what are your plans for bringing about jobs?
I would like to tell Kevin, thank you very much for that. My first objective is to, one, revamp the whole system. Dixmoor have laws on the books that they do not implement, number one. Secondly, since Dixmoor has no tax base, we are in a position where we have property, where we can bring business into this community. As of right now, this past administration has basically depleted the TIF account, the TIF funds, and to pay payroll and not use that money for economic development. So I would have to work hard to bring business, to attract them in here, and the first thing that would have to be done is to have these abandoned homes occupied by residents. There are too many abandoned homes that is not occupied, and it's a nuisance to the community. It's making the property value of homeowners go down. And secondly, what I would do, everyone there as an employee will have to reapply for their position. There are still contracts that need to be settled with the union and the village that needs to be settled.
Now, do you have to live in, I know this may sound kind of crazy, but as a mayor, do you have to live in the village where you reside? Because I know there's some dirty stuff going on in some of these villages where the mayor owns property in the village but really doesn't live there.
I don't understand. I don't know where the mayor lives, because as of right now, his home is considered condemned and inhabitable because he has no lights and no gas. And it has been like this since 2006. I do have documentation that he has no gas in his home, which means he has illegally used his home as an active voter. So he's committing voter fraud to vote out of that home, and it's inhabitable. And that is something that I'm working on as of right now. Where the mayor lives, I have no idea. The neighbors don't know where he lives. He comes through the town, he rides through. Where he resides, I have no idea. But I can guarantee you he do not live in his home.
Well,
and I have
made
this perfectly clear to him at the meeting a month ago that we all know that he has no gas in his home. So it's no secret that he knows that resident is aware of this. You know, it's been a hush-hush secret, you know, the rumor. I just put it out there in the meeting, in the open meeting, and let him know. I refuse
to
bite
my tongue. Under the Freedom of Information Act, I mean, you're entitled to know, but everyone should know where their mayor lives. You know, it's
exactly.
Just amazing. There are some mayors in other towns that claim that they live in the towns, but there are some mayors right now that are under investigation because they own property in the towns where they're the mayors, but they're not residing there.
And to me personally, I believe you are defrauding your voters. You are defrauding the very people that voted for you. You are defrauding your community when you are not representing them at 100%. If Dixmoor or any other community is not good enough for you to live there, then you should not be a mayor there. Go be a leader where you live.
How can those that are listening that may be interested in helping you, are you setting up a campaign office or not yet? Because your election is not until 2013, but I know you're circulating petitions at this time. Am I correct?
Correct. As of right now, I'm knocking on doors, introducing myself to residents that do not know me, and I'm collecting signatures, and right after I file my petitions and to see if I'm on the ballot, then everything will go from there, and I will be going full-fledged.
Okay. Well, I want to take this time to thank you for being my guest on Women in Politics on In the Know with Mo. This, you've been listening to Wendy Casey. Wendy Casey is a lifelong resident of Dixmoor, Illinois, where she is a candidate for mayor of Dixmoor. You know what? And I really pray that you get that seat because it seems like the mayor's it's the good old boys. And right now, presently in the South Suburbs, we have probably about three women who are mayors. Mayor Vivian Covington out of University Park, Mayor Martin out of Olympia Fields, Mayor Brodine out of Roberts. And when you win the election, as Kevin says, when you win the election, you will be the fourth candidate, the fourth mayor.
Yes. Yes.
So I really
want to get it done. I said, women can get it done.
Hey, when Wendy gets work, I mean, you are seriously about the business. I mean, mention your name. Everyone knows your name and you're out there. You're a people person, but you're a person with a passion for people, which is the big thing. So I want to thank you. We're coming to the end of our time. It's amazing how time flies when you're giving people the information. Tomorrow night, my guest. And thank you, and stay focused, and watch your back out there, too, because you know how we tend to get.
Yes, I appreciate it so much.
You are quite welcome. My guest tomorrow night will be Robert McKay, who is running for president of NAACP Chicago Southside Chapter, and Mr. Eddie Harris, who is the author of Take the Chain Off Your Brain. Until then, stay focused and be blessed. My thanks to Mrs. Wendy Casey, candidate for mayor of Victoria, Illinois. Good night.
That heaven might find a place in their heart. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is love. He won't let you down.